even for women that have come off, you know, it's still really common to see them dealing with residual issues, like their cycles have been irregular ever since they got off of birth control, or their period still hasn't come back, or their anxiety or their depression before their period is more intense than it ever was before. So then it's like we have this added complexity in a way of figuring out what's going on with the hormones and also what could be residual from birth control.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the way that birth control is explained to a lot of women, oh, it's going to help regulate your cycle. Well, it's not actually regulating it. It's actually shutting down your body's natural communication between the brain and the ovaries and the whole hormone system and putting in a false cycle instead, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's not very marketable. So no, instead, exactly. Instead, we say, oh, it'll fix your hormones,
right.
Or, you know, it'll preserve your fertility. And there's all sorts of strange things that women have told me that they've been told by physicians or friends or their moms. And yeah, it really is pretty much the polar opposite of that. Like you said, it mm-hmm. deletes our own natural cycle. And you know, the hormones in birth control are not the same hormones that your body makes. There's no progesterone in any birth control. It is progestin, which does not work the same way. And I think that is where the body literacy piece is so big. You know, we're not taught much about our bodies. So then when people are saying things like, don't worry, there's progesterone in it. It's no big deal. You don't need to ovulate. There's progesterone mm-hmm. in this pill. You know, we don't typically, at least I wasn't taught anything about my body. So I had right. no idea that what they were saying was wildly inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Fix Your Gut podcast. I'm Holly, a functional nutritionist with a BSc nutrition and a BA psychology. And I'm here to empower you to understand why you have gut issues and give you simple, actionable strategies based on the latest gut microbiome science combined with centuries old, tried and true mind-body practices that not only banish bloating, heal IBS, heartburn and reflux, reverse food sensitivities, but also boost your energy, mood, and metabolism. You're here because you're frustrated with conventional medicine. You're sick of looking 6 months pregnant every time you eat. And your gastro says everything is normal, but clearly something is off. You've probably already tried gluten-free or low FODMAP diets and probiotics, but nothing seems to work. You deserve to know the truth about your gut and how to heal on your own terms without having to rely on medications or invasive procedures. Each episode, we go beyond gut healing diets to understand the role of your gut microbiome, nervous system dysfunction, and so much more, so you can break up with those diets, stop fearing food, and get your life back. I interview experts in the fields of gut healing and mind-body medicine, including naturopaths, chiropractors, yoga teachers, and more, to help empower you with simple yet critical daily practices that allow you to harness the power of the mind-body or gut-brain connection to fast-track your gut healing. Let's dive into the episode. Cassandra Wilder is a naturopathic doctor and integrative hormone expert. She's passionate about cyclical health and menstruation, and she teaches women how to work with their bodies and apply foundational tools to return to balance. She is the creator of the popular Period Plus hormone program, Period Reboot, and hosts the Cyclical podcast. Welcome, Dr. Cassandra Wilder, to the Fix Your Gut podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Fix Your Gut podcast. Today, I have with me a special guest, Dr. Cassandra Wilder. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk a little bit about hormones and PMS and birth control and all kinds of wonderful things, and touch a little bit about how hormones are connected to gut health as well. But I know definitely one thing I want to touch on today is the bloating situation. That's kind of the number one thing that people tend to come to me for. So before we dive into, you know, what's really causing all these issues, why don't we start by talking a bit about, you know, what are our sex hormones and why do so many women struggle with hormone related issues?
It's a great question. It seems that almost every woman that I meet out and about finds out what I do and they're like, oh my gosh, I need you. This is what's going on. You know, it seems I think the stats are up to 70% of women may be struggling with a hormone imbalance, but sometimes it feels higher than that to me. So when we think of a hormone imbalance, you know, we think of so many symptoms like heavy periods, painful periods, thyroid disorders, always cold, hair falling out, can't get pregnant, bloat, migraines, tender breasts. I mean, there's really a massive list we could go down. And probably even many people listening to this are like, check, check, check. That's what I've been dealing with too. So when we think of our hormones, you know, we often think of like estrogen, we think of progesterone, but our endocrine system is, you know, an incredibly complex system. And our hormones really, in the simplest sense, are just chemical messengers. So they communicate throughout our body, you know, from our brain to our adrenal glands, to our ovaries, to our pancreas. And when something misfires here, when there is an imbalance here, it really can result in us feeling imbalanced on a systemic level. And what I mean by that is, it's usually never just painful periods or migraines. It's like your thyroid is suddenly showing underactive, you're stressed, you can't sleep well, your gut health is impacted, so you're bloated or you're constipated, you have brain fog. You know, it's devastating to a lot of women to deal with a hormone imbalance because it feels like it trickles out to every facet of their life. And that's, I think, why I'm so grateful there's such a huge, like, sudden, what's the word I'm even looking for? Like, there's so many, yeah, there's just so many women that are finally really, really interested in hormones. They want to get to the root of it. They're not okay with the old school, just get on birth control and we'll pretend everything's fine.
Right.
Women are really eager to balance this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And we're kind of stepping into our power and being like, okay, I went to the doctor and they didn't want to do any testing, or they did some testing and they said, everything's quote unquote fine, but I don't feel fine. So let's dig deeper. Clearly something is off, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so what would you say are the more common symptoms of a hormone imbalance?
Yeah, the big ones are anything with your cycle. So short cycles, which would be under like 25 days total, long cycles beyond 36 days, irregular cycles, painful periods, heavy periods, mid-cycle spotting. So definitely anything cyclical can point to a hormone imbalance. Thyroid stuff is so common now. So if you're always feeling cold, you're tired all the time, your hair is falling out, your eyebrows are thinning at the edges. Certainly adrenal hormones are a big part to all of this too. So if you have insomnia, if you go to bed at night and you're wired but tired, if you wake up after 9 hours of sleep and you still feel like you could sleep 10 more hours.
Been there.
Yeah. So common. Yeah. So it really, it's hard to even give a list because it can be so many different variations. But I think what I see most is the thyroid piece and the cycle piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see a lot of that with my clients as well. And while they're typically coming to me because my focus is gut health, but as we know, all these things are connected, right? So I am seeing, I'd say 70, 80 or even more percent of my clients are dealing with thyroid issues, whether or not it's subclinical or they've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's or something of the sort. And, you know, because of that, they're struggling with weight gain, even though they're kind of doing everything right and they're just not making progress with any of their concerns, whether it's weight or, you know, skin issues or bloating or insomnia. So I often have to take a more holistic approach to working with these clients. But oftentimes I am also referring out to people like yourself that have more of a, you know, additional schooling or training and knowledge about hormones, because it is such a complex system and it's not my area of focus, and I'm not able to do a lot of the tests or interpret some of the tests, like the Dutch test, which is quite intense biochemically. So yeah, I think it's something that's really important, but it's definitely not something that you can DIY or work with someone who doesn't have the right credentials. So
true. And that's where the internet is both a blessing and a curse, because people are just taking health advice from Instagram or old blogs or podcasts. And like you said, they're DIYing it. And in some ways, that's not the worst thing. But in other ways, you know, usually it kind of keeps us stuck in the exact same spots because it's not bio-individual.
Yes, you get kind of stuck in this vicious cycle, and then you feel like you're trying everything and doing everything right and eating well and exercising, but there's probably some critical pieces that are either missing, or sometimes, you know, we do these things thinking it's the healthy thing to do, like dieting or doing CrossFit 5 times a week. And then in reality, that's actually, you know, backfiring when it comes to hormones too. So
exactly.
Yeah. But I think the issue, I mean, in general with our society, I'll try not to get on a rant about this the pill for every ill type of medical system we have. And, you know, I very much grew up with that too, having a nurse as a stepmom. You know, if you have a headache, take this pill. You have a stomachache, take that pill. There was no understanding of, you know, why are these things happening in the first place, or how can we deal with it in other more holistic ways? So would you say that a lot of people that come to you with hormone imbalances are either on birth control or were on birth control and want to get off, or do you see that a lot?
Definitely. Most women that I work with are no longer on it. Usually they at some point have come off, but gosh, probably 90%+ of women I work with have been on birth control at some point in their life. Literally, when I meet someone that says they've never been on birth control and they're like 25 to 30 years old, I'm like, wow, how did you get through life not right? being pushed to take birth control? That's really surprising. But even for women that have come off, you know, it's still really common to see them dealing with residual issues, like their cycles have been irregular ever since they got off of birth control, or their period still hasn't come back, or their anxiety or their depression before their period is more intense than it ever was before. So then it's like we have this added complexity in a way of figuring out what's going on with the hormones and also what could be residual from birth control.
Yeah. And I think the way that birth control is explained to a lot of women, it's going to help regulate your cycle. Well, it's not actually regulating it. It's actually shutting down your body's natural communication between the brain and the ovaries and the whole hormone system and putting in a false cycle instead. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's not very marketable. So instead we say, it'll fix your hormones,
right?
Or, you know, it'll preserve your fertility. And there's all sorts of strange things that women have told me that they've been told by physicians or friends or their moms. And yeah, it really is pretty much the polar opposite of that. Like you said, it deletes our own natural cycle. And you know, the hormones in birth control are not the same hormones that your body makes. There's no progesterone in any birth control. It is progestin, which does not work the same way. And I think that is where the body literacy piece is so big. You know, we're not taught much about our bodies. So then when people are saying things like, don't worry, there's progesterone in it. It's no big deal. You don't need to ovulate. There's progesterone in this pill. You know, we don't typically, at least I wasn't taught anything about my body. So I had no idea that what they were saying was wildly inaccurate.
And that's a whole other thing too, with the kind of the still existing patriarchy of the medical system and very much kind of keeping women in the dark, right? And maybe back in the olden days or different certain cultures, you know, if people passed this knowledge down through their family, like maybe you would get, you know, empowered to learn about your body and your cycle. But I don't know about you, my mom didn't teach me a whole lot about that. You know, just the basics of, you know, here's our tampon, this is how you use it kind of thing.
Literally.
But no real understanding of what exactly is happening beyond the super basics in health class. And just not really understanding, you know, how we can kind of work with the ebbs and flows of our cycle as well, rather than having to feel like it's a curse, or how we can take, you know, simple diet and lifestyle strategies to balance out our hormones and regulate our cycle to a point where we don't really have to suffer.
Exactly. That needs to be on a billboard.
Yeah,
literally.
Exactly. Empowerment for women.
Yeah.
And I think the other piece is, you know, I mean, like any medication, there's going to be side effects, but I don't think a lot of women the side effects aren't explained to them, or they're not as aware, or maybe they feel at the time that because they're suffering so much that it's going to be worth whatever side effects they might have. But when I see these women that have been on birth control long term, you know, they're struggling with their gut, and oftentimes we'll start working away and using these protocols that I know are evidence-based and work for gut healing, but they're still constipated, they're still having, you know, heartburn and all these issues, and it's just not getting anywhere. And with the few clients I've had that chose, you know, they decided based on the information I shared about birth control that they wanted to come off, they went off, and only then did they start making more progress with their gut and even their mood as well. Some of them were really struggling with anxiety, depression, and, you know, they've done all the other pieces. They're working on their sleep and they're exercising. They've tried some supplements, but they were still really struggling. And it wasn't until they came off that they started kind of feeling better.
Wow. And that says so much, doesn't it? That's pretty shocking.
Yeah. And so when it comes to like ovulation and fertility, I think I've worked with a lot of women that are wanting to get pregnant or have been trying and they're really struggling and getting frustrated. What would you say is important for women to know about the role of ovulation and fertility?
Well, it's absolutely necessary, of course. If you don't ovulate or if you don't time intimacy correctly with ovulation, then there's no possibility for pregnancy. And this frustrates me. You know, so many women I've worked with come to me after trying to get pregnant on their own for maybe a year or so. And usually my first question is simply, what has your doctor told you about this? Or have you talked to your doctor about your difficulty getting pregnant? And so often these women say to me, well, my doctor just told me to have more sex. And I'm like, okay, but like, did they tell you that for like 25 days of the month, you could have sex 10 times a day and that's not going to get you pregnant? There is that tiny window, right? And so again, it's shocking, but not that women are not taught how to track something as basic as ovulation. The easiest way to track ovulation at home is by tracking your basal body temperature. So that will show you after you've ovulated. And you can also then track your cervical mucus or your discharge to find out when your fertile window opens. When I say fertile window, the moment you ovulate, that egg is viable for conception for 12 to 24 hours in your fallopian tube. That's it. So 24 hours is being really generous. But sperm can live in our body for up to 5 days. And so there's really a 5-day window where if we time intimacy correctly, sperm could already be inside the body, ready for the moment that the egg drops. So we can see how critical timing intimacy is. And also in tracking our basal body temperature, we then also will have that information if we're even ovulating, because some women have fairly regular cycles and actually are not ovulating. And that's critical to know.
And so what exactly is the basal body temperature and how would you track it?
So there's two really good ways to do it. One is with an oral thermometer. Every morning when you wake up, you would take your oral temperature. Or you can do what's called the temp drop. It's an armband that you wear at night. It's my favorite way. And it tracks it while you sleep. So then in the morning, you just take it off and sync it to your phone. But throughout your cycle, your temperatures change. So in the early part of your cycle and during your period, your temperature stays fairly low. After you ovulate, though, your body starts making progesterone. And progesterone is a warming hormone and it activates your thyroid. So you'll see a fairly significant temperature increase. And then that temperature will remain sustained until a day or so before your period, and then it'll plummet. So it's, again, really cool to have this data about your body. And if someone's having a difficult time getting pregnant and they track their basal body temperature and see, wow, I'm not even ovulating, that can feel defeating, but it's also valuable information because then we can start to lean back a little and say, what's the bigger picture here? Why doesn't my body have the tools it needs to ovulate? What's going on with stress? Is my nutrition dialed in? You know, these are things that can really start to provide answers.
Yeah. And when you were saying there about another way to know about whether you're ovulating is your cervical mucus or your discharge, what exactly are you looking for?
Yeah. So most of us probably find that after our period, there's a lot of dryness, and then we'll start to see more and more discharge as we get closer to the middle of the month. So you might see really creamy discharge. And then around your fertile window, most women will see what we call like egg white cervical mucus. It's very goopy. It might even be so much that when you wipe, it feels very slippery, or maybe you see it in your underwear. That cervical mucus, you know, our body is so smart, is a tool to help sperm survive longer inside of our body. It also feeds sperm. So most of the month, your vagina is extremely acidic, very inhospitable, like shoots down every little bit of sperm. There's no chance of survival. But around ovulation, your vagina becomes more alkaline. There's more cervical mucus to help it swim and help it survive and to feed it. And, you know, it's just so, our body is so incredible. It's, nature is so interesting. But especially when you're seeing that very goopy cervical mucus, usually that would indicate you're approaching your fertile zone.
Okay, good to know. Definitely noticed that myself. Mm-hmm. Okay. yeah, I wanted to ask too that, or I wanted to mention, I guess, something that I've seen a lot with my clients is recurring yeast infections and EVs seem to be very common with a lot of my clients. And I think that from my research anyways, at least part of that is due to like gut microbiome imbalances too. But I think it's so important for women to know, and I have a friend that's a naturopath specializing in fertility as well, so she's kind of helped me learn some of this, that you do have a cervical or a uterine microbiome, right, where if that is out of balance, that too can contribute to fertility issues or even conception. So if you're someone who's prone to a lot of BV or imbalances in there and it's a recurring thing for you, definitely want to get that checked out and treated. And because if that's imbalanced, it can cause issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's also connected. And usually if there's something going on with BV or yeast infections, like you said, almost always I find there's something with the gut happening as well. So it's always connected.
Yeah. I even had clients to the point where, you know, we've done everything we could in terms of working on the gut to regulate their bowels and stuff, they're still constipated, and then they've disclosed that they're still struggling with BV, and once they got that treated, all of a sudden their bowels started to regulate. So it is very much connected for sure. Just general inflammation in that whole area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a few solid places that anyone can start. Of course, in a perfect world, I do think testing is advantageous. It's really nice to customize what you're doing, but just a couple of these things that I think would benefit literally everyone. One is to eat breakfast within an hour of waking. So we want to keep our stress hormones as low as possible, fasting, skipping breakfast, or going through the Starbucks drive-through and, you know, drinking some yummy caramel thing and a muffin or something is not going to benefit your hormones. So that's one simple but sometimes difficult foundational piece for women. If you're in the habit of drinking coffee first thing before breakfast, or if you're just not a breakfast person, having hunger cues in the morning is actually an important thing to see. So if you don't feel hungry when you wake up, that's usually a sign that your stress hormones are probably elevated. So the more that you lovingly nourish your body in the morning, the more those hunger cues will probably return.
Okay. So what exactly is the connection between, you know, eating, either skipping breakfast or eating a more sugary, carby breakfast? Like, how does that impact hormones?
Right. So skipping breakfast, or say having caffeine on an empty stomach especially, is going to elevate cortisol. And so cortisol, of course, when it's high, can go and have a large trickle-down effect. It can impact our sex hormones like progesterone and make progesterone lower. It could also impact things like testosterone and increase those levels. So we would definitely want to suggest this to someone that, say, has PCOS or has known issues with progesterone or infertility. And then say you have a really carby, sugary breakfast, that's going to impact insulin, which is the hormone that your pancreas releases for blood sugar. And so having an imbalanced or improperly paired meal is also going to have a large trickle-down effect with hormones. And that's why I like doing the Dutch test, which is a urine test for hormone health, as you know, because you can really see the funnel of like how the cookie crumbles, so to say. So you can see how maybe something like dysregulated blood sugar or high stress hormones can trickle down and ultimately lead to elevated testosterone or high estrogen or low progesterone. So again, it sounds so simple, but just ensuring that you're eating breakfast first thing in the morning and ideally having it well balanced, meaning there is protein, fat, and carbs. So not necessarily just oatmeal, not just coffee, not just a piece of toast, making sure you're also really hitting that protein piece as well, ideally at least 20 grams.
Okay, so a couple eggs or a smoothie with protein powder, Greek yogurt, something high protein.
Exactly. It sounds hard to some people, but I promise if you do it for a week, it'll be a habit.
Yeah, and personally, I found that when I started eating more that way, I had way less cravings, more energy throughout the day. I'm not someone who struggles with metabolism or weight per se, but I know of a lot of people, a lot of my clients notice that when they started eating more to balance their blood sugar, that they notice they're able to lose weight more effortlessly too.
It really is kind of like the secret to hormone balance and probably health in general is the blood sugar piece. And I'm glad so many people are talking about it, but it does involve most of us having to rewrite what we think a balanced meal is, right? Because like I grew up eating oatmeal and cereal every day for breakfast, right? Nobody ever was like, hey, there's no protein in that. Do you want a side of eggs or something?
Exactly. Me too.
You're eating clean and taking your probiotics, but nothing seems to work. You still look 6 months pregnant and feel heavy, bloated, and foggy. There's a gut healing secret they're not telling you. Your body simply can't heal when it's stuck in survival mode. And most of us are. See, your body craves balance, and it's not balanced when you're down to 10 safe foods, prioritizing productivity over self-care and rest, relying on medications or supplements to function, and neglecting your mental health. When you join the Fix Your Gut app, you'll learn how to fast track your gut healing and be bloat-free in as little as 3 months by combining the power of science with the time-honored mind-body daily practices that shift your body into a healing state. So you can achieve less bloating, regular bowel movements, reverse food sensitivities, have regular, banish brain fog, feel calm and clear, conquer cravings and supercharge your metabolism, achieve deep sleep and wake up refreshed, and radiate beauty with clearer, more radiant skin and strong hair and nails. If this sounds like you, you'll want to join us inside the Fix Your Gut app coming this fall. And the app is unlike anything you've tried before. Because not only does it walk you through the 4-step gut healing plan that I use with clients, but it also helps you build the 5 foundational gut healing habits that you're probably missing from your routine. And that includes mindset, sleep, nervous system regulation, meal prep, and movement. Once you have these 5 foundational habits in place, shifted into an optimal healing state, and those dietary changes and supplements can actually do their job. Want to learn more and get access to exclusive discounts? Join the waitlist by heading to the link in the show notes.
Definitely. So kind of on that same thread, eating every 3 to 4 hours and ensuring that, again, you're getting high protein, well-balanced meals throughout the day. So really just kind of make that your goal throughout the day. You have your breakfast, you have your maybe first snack, lunch, snack, and then dinner. Most women, I think, benefit with 80 to 100 grams of protein a day. Of course, that vary somewhat on body composition, how often you work out, all of that. But I think 80 grams is a fair thing to say for most women. Another interesting foundation, I think, is just trying to go to bed by 10 p.m. Mm. Which, again, is like innate. I think we all know it, but it's difficult for some of us.
Yeah.
But as the sun starts to set, you start to make the hormone melatonin, which is supposed to make you sleepy and ready for bed. But because a lot of us are on our devices after dark, maybe we're watching TV, we're on our phone, we're on our computer, maybe we're on all 3 at the same time. That's really common. That blue light mirrors the light spectrum of the sun at high noon. And so you can imagine how disruptive that is to your own circadian rhythm when you're staring at a device at 9 o'clock at night that's telling your body that it's noon. Mm. Talk about confusing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they make awesome glasses called blue light blocking glasses. Some prescription glasses, you can now get blue light blocking in them. Or better yet, I just suggest people try to get off their devices about an hour before bed. Allow your body to make that melatonin and go to bed. And I promise you will sleep better if you leave your phone alone for an hour before bed.
And it does, in terms of like shutting your brain off and shifting into that more relaxed state, you know, it doesn't matter what you're looking at online. It's very stimulating. You know, it could be something like about the news that's upsetting. It could be you're looking at some influencer and comparing yourself. Oh, why am I not, you know, why is my skin not as nice as hers? Why am I not as skinny as her? And you start spiraling, right? So I think anything we see online has the ability to cause these thoughts and get us thinking and feeling in a way that's not conducive to winding down for bed. So I always encourage people to find a relaxing routine before bed that works for them. So for me, I really like to read. sometimes I'm too tired to read and I'll just sit and do some stretches or some deep breathing, or I'll put on like a guided meditation track on Spotify. I find these things really helpful to kind of shift my nervous system into that relaxed state for sleep.
Exactly. And it's little things. I have a 15-month-old, so unfortunately my days of like reading in bed feel like a distant dream right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, even if I could just go put my phone on the charge and do something really simple with him, play with him, get him ready for bed, anything, you know, it doesn't have to be a big extravagant self-care thing. I think that's where a lot of us get stuck, is we feel like, well, if I don't have my 12-step bougie self-care routine, then what's the point?
Right.
So a reminder to everyone, like you said, whether it's just sitting in bed with a good book, taking care of your kids, giving them their bath or whatever, but leaving your phone in the other room, all of this is regulating.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And before we dive into a little bit on hormone testing, I want to add one more thing about the food piece that I see so many clients, especially if I work more with midlife women that are dieting. Because they had these weight loss goals, and what they found in the past was that, you know, doing keto or low carb or fasting or some kind of restrictive, you know, where they're restricting calories in some way was helpful for them in the past. But now they're doing it, and not only are they finding it's not working, and then they're cutting more and more calories out to get the effect they want, it's actually ironically more of a stressor on the body, and in turn, it's backfiring on their goals. So I think that's a really big piece as well.
It's so big. I'm glad you said that, because that's the loop that a lot of us have been in. And like you said, I've had women come to me that are eating 1400 calories a day. They continue to cut and cut and cut in pursuit of losing weight. And it's a hard moment when you have to explain to them, like, you can't cut anymore. You're already in such a deficit. Your body's putting on the belly fat because it's stressed, because it thinks it's, you know, in survival. It's a hard conversation, but
Your health body, is definitely. Yeah. To balance anything, right? Whether it's hormones or to get to a state where your body is able to let go of weight, it needs to be in a balanced state, in a happy homeostasis where it just feels like it's safe to do these things. So.
Exactly. So it's great that for both of us with our clients, it sounds like we're focusing on gut health and hormone health, and weight loss is like a nice bonus.
Mm-hmm. And it comes a little more easily when these things come into balance, I find. Kind of shifting gears and talking a little bit about hormone testing. I know you briefly mentioned the Dutch test. Do you use that with a lot of your clients, or do you also find that it's worthwhile doing blood-based hormone testing?
I definitely am biased in that I do really like the Dutch test, but blood testing can be great if you have a physician that will do comprehensive testing with you and time it correctly. So, you know, if you have a doctor that's trying to test your progesterone on day 7 of your cycle, that's the most pointless thing in the world, because, you know, remember, like we talked about, you don't make progesterone unless you ovulate. So unless you're consciously taking that test after ovulation, it's a waste of time and money for everyone. So I do like blood testing, but like I said, most of the time when I have someone bring me their blood tests, it's almost useless because it's so cherry-picked. It's just a couple of random hormones. It doesn't say what day of the cycle they were tested, and so usually I can't do a whole lot with it. The Dutch test is really cool in that it's mailed to you. It's a urine test, so it's not invasive. And it doesn't just give you the values of each hormone, but like you've seen, it really has a very, it's almost like a map showing you your hormone status and how your hormones are impacting each other. So I do like that. Yeah. I do a lot
on certain days of the month, right? In order to get the right reference range.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. It's very, very, the instructions are so great with the Dutch test. Very clear that you have to take it 3 to 5 days after you ovulate. And then you're also taking it multiple times a day, so you can measure your cortisol as well, which is really interesting. So I do really like the Dutch test, but more and more these days I do a lot of GI map or stool testing, and I do a lot of hair tissue mineral analysis or mineral testing, because the hormones don't become imbalanced just because they want to, right? Your hormones one day don't just wake up and say like, let's definitely put estrogen through the roof. There's always a foundational reason behind that. So the million-dollar question is then, why are my hormones imbalanced? Or why is my thyroid underactive? So we have to go further down the line.
Mm-hmm. And with the GI map, what kind of things are you looking at on there to indicate that it could be a cause of the hormone imbalance?
Sorry, not to give you more work to edit.
All good.
Okay, the babysitter got him. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh, with the GI map, what kind of specific things are you looking at on there to see if that's a factor for the hormones being imbalanced?
Well, definitely, as you know, if we have any imbalances going on in our gut, if our gut is in an overactive state, if we have issues with our pancreas going on, if we're dealing with overgrowth with bacteria, or we have other pathogens like parasites or yeast or fungus, that's all going to impact how we digest our food and our nutrient levels. The GI map also shows inflammation in the gut. And so it's helpful for me to start to see foundationally what's going on in the gut and to really see how stressed the system is overall. So there's usually always something really interesting and profound that will come up in a GI map. And even though someone may have symptoms that seemingly are driven by hormones like acne or PCOS, or infertility, it's pretty astounding. The more you focus on the gut, the more you see the hormones balance.
Mm-hmm. And we know now that there's a big, big connection between gut imbalances and blood sugar. You know, I've worked with some women that, you know, I'm eating my protein and my fiber and I'm doing all the things that should be balancing out my blood sugar, but I'm still have, you know, my doctor said my blood sugar is often pre-diabetic or something and they can't figure out why. And then I see their GI map and I'm like, oh, that's probably part of the problem. Obviously, we have to look at things like stress and sleep as well. But if a gut's out of balance, it's definitely going to impact the blood sugar and then in turn the hormones. And I know that there is also one measure on there, the beta-glucuronidase, that is a good indicator as well, right?
Yeah, that helps us see if your body's getting rid of estrogen efficiently. So there's three phases to estrogen detox, and the Dutch test shows you phase 1 and 2, but it can't show you phase 3. The GI map will show you that phase 3. So we can really see, are you reabsorbing all of your estrogen because you're not getting it out through your stool? Or are you efficient in pooping it out daily so that it's not building up?
Yeah. And so when it comes to certain hormone-related PMS symptoms, if you can kind of give us a bit more insight. So something I see a lot, I'd say that some of the top two are bloating, worsening gut symptoms, so whether that's like diarrhea or constipation, and then mood changes. Are there any certain things that are, that you can share that would indicate why these things are cropping up?
Definitely. They can all really connect with progesterone. And progesterone, of course, is the superstar of our cycle in the second half of our cycle. So really from, say, day 15 to day 29 or something, that hormone should be the most powerful hormone. When that hormone is low or non-existent, say we're on the pill and we're not ovulating, or say we're just like many women that are stressed or undernourished and we're not ovulating, having that low progesterone is definitely correlated to anxiety, depression, breast tenderness, bloat, in that part of your cycle. And for most women that struggle with those symptoms, they're probably like, yeah, that's exactly when it's the worst, is right before my period. I feel extra irritable, or I'm really struggling with anxiety, or I feel so puffy and bloated, and I have my like luteal phase pants and my like follicular phase pants, right?
Yeah.
So really investigating the progesterone piece is usually the most important part.
Mm-hmm. And I think, at least from what I've read, I don't know if this is like 100% accurate, but I know that like estrogen does drop off closer to your period, right? And estrogen in the gut is needed for motility. So sometimes that dramatic shift can trigger diarrhea for like a day for people. But I know a lot of women, especially the midlife women, tend to turn more towards constipation when the estrogen drops off. I guess it's more, in menopause, but when we kind of talk about women that are having a period, that tends to contribute to constipation sometimes too, I think.
Definitely, definitely. It can. And then sometimes you see that polar opposite where people have what's called, quote, the period flu, where in maybe the day or two before their period and during their period, they have extreme diarrhea, hot flashes, sweats, headaches, very intense, painful periods. And that all comes back to prostaglandins, which is what makes your uterus contract. But if there's too many of those, you have, yeah, what literally feels like an illness. So it is so interesting. You've got like the prostaglandin piece that can make one extreme. Like you said, if our hormones are dropping, estrogen is low, we may feel more backed up. Yeah.
And when it comes to, you know, other than diet and getting good sleep, I know a lot of people, you know, it's very tempting when you go to the health food store and they have all these like, oh, take this hormone supplement or bloat free or something for, you know, menopause plus or whatever. Are there certain supplements that you'd say are worthwhile using, or are they kind of a waste of time?
Hey, I love supplements as much as the next person, so no judgment from me. I think, though, we can get sparkly thing syndrome, right? Like a little raccoon. We can be like, ooh, this is going to fix everything. So just a reminder that supplements can't fix lifestyle. So if you're doing all the foundations, would some supplements benefit? Probably. And I think there's some core supplements that probably would benefit just about everyone, like a quality magnesium, like a glycinate or a malate. That can be very helpful for sleep, for digestion, for stress resiliency, for just about everything. You know, when in doubt, take magnesium is kind of the joke. Vitamin C too, especially a food-based vitamin C. So not ascorbic acid, but like Camu Camu or cherry or rose hips. That is very pro-progesterone. So that would be a great thing if you don't know you're ovulating or you're trying to get pregnant. Taking vitamin C every day literally probably only has benefits. I mean, those are kind of like the two really, really general ones that I think would benefit just about every woman.
Yeah, and I know a lot of women, apparently when you come off birth control, you can be deficient in D vitamins, and that can help for some people doing a good quality B complex. But I think beyond that, in terms of things like Vitex and different herbs that are a little stronger, would you recommend that people only use those under the guidance of a naturopath or a training professional?
Personally, yes. I actually am not a big fan of Vitex, which is like controversial to say out loud. But I see so many women overdo it because it's touted as this cure-all for women's hormone health. And I personally usually only see it not help versus really have some miraculous results. So not a big Vitex person, but for other herbs like red raspberry leaf or nettle, I mean, those are so gentle and more nutritive. I think that would be fine, or horsetail. Yeah. But
as
yeah,
like if a you're, tea or as like an capsule.
They're going to be most beneficial as a tea or a tincture, not so much as a capsule. But yeah, if you're getting into more kind of nuanced things or things that feel more specific, even like DIM or yeah, especially the supplements. Exactly. The supplements that are really pushed if you seemingly have excess estrogen, I would proceed with caution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there anything else that you'd like to share that can help people kind of get their hormones back on track?
Yeah, I think really trying to stay in that empowered mindset of not, you know, my body's broken. Oh gosh, I'm 35. It's all downhill from here. You know, really staying away from that kind of talk and instead coming back into the perspective of this is really interesting. My body is giving me signs and symptoms that something's not right. Just like if you got in your car and the check engine light was on, would you be like, this car is a piece of crap? No, you'd be like, oh, I wonder what's going on. I should probably take care of it.
Yeah, I'm a professional.
Exactly, right? Like, don't start pulling stuff out of your motor by yourself. It's the same thing. So trying to just stay in that curious perspective of, I wonder what's going on. What am I not giving my body? How could I take better care of my body? And then what are my symptoms really telling me? You know, a lot of your symptoms can trace back to pretty specific things, right? So if you're always cold, your hair is falling out, and you're tired, that's probably a good indication you should ask your doctor to do a full thyroid panel. Or if your periods are heavy and you're bloated and you have migraines, probably would be good to do a full hormone panel and look at estrogen. So stay curious. Don't judge your body and don't judge yourself. And certainly don't think that it can't be fixed.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing too is get off Dr. Google and go work with a professional that can give you a personalized evidence-based plan and get you moving forward, because It's tempting to want to DIY it, especially if you're on a budget. And ironically, even with the budget piece, you know, you can end up spending a lot of money on different programs and supplements and things that may or may not work for you. And then you're in the hole without making any progress, right? Mm. So, and then on top of that, you're getting more and more frustrated that you're not feeling better and nothing's working. And that frustration and stress can further impact your hormones. So I think it is really important to invest in working with a professional that knows what they're doing and can give you a personalized plan to feel better faster.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah. And so can you share a bit about where we can find you, or if someone wants to work with you, how can they go about doing that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Dr. Cassandra Wilder. I post lots of free helpful content there. And then my website is cassandrawilder.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Cassandra. It was lovely meeting with you. And thank you for sharing all your wisdom and education. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me today. Hey, if you have 30 seconds, if you could leave a rating or review in your podcast app, that would help other women just like you heal their guts. And if you could share the episode on your favorite social platform and tag me, Mindful Vitality, that would be great. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And thanks so much for tuning in. I'll chat with you soon.